It's easy to think that God is all about blessing us. And look, sure, he is. But sometimes that path to blessing takes us on a journey through the wilderness, a bit like Jesus. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're kicking off a new series of messages called God's Mightiest Works in Your Wilderness. So let's head into God's Word, and do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about a free booklet that I'd love to send you. It's called Defeating the Devil in the Wilderness. I wonder if I asked you to define success, exactly how would you go about doing that? And what does success mean to you? I know that for a long time, success for me meant recognition, wealth, whatever I chose to do, being the best and reaping the rewards. And then when I had the rewards, spending them in ways that demonstrated that indeed I was successful. Success meant achieving and being seen to achieve, and in every way, reaping the rewards. And that's pretty much the way of the world. Everything the advertising industry does reinforces that image of success. It's kind of like a surface thing, and by implication, the things that constitute success according to the world's rules, those outward signs of success, they're supposed to make us happy on the inside. At least that's the theory. I read a book recently by a man called Doug Webster, and it's called Under the Radar: Conversations on Leadership. It's one of those short books that just blew me away. And over the next few weeks on the program, we're going to unpack that a little bit to see what the man has to say. He makes the point that some of the most successful leaders he knows, people who've achieved so much, are people that you and I will never know. In a sense, they're men and women who followed God's call on their lives and kind of flew underneath the radar of public recognition into the hearts and the lives of the men and the women and the children around them. And that sort of leadership challenges our images of success. Inevitably, these great leaders are people who've been in the wilderness, who've struggled and been vulnerable and allowed God into their lives in the midst of that wilderness. He challenged me with this statement in his book. We shouldn't be surprised that the Bible calls for leadership that the world does not recognize as leadership. We have trouble identifying the David-type leader whose character and leadership have been forged in the wilderness while caring for the sheep. That makes you think. I want to take you into a story in the life of Jesus, which is a case in point. And this week we've started a series that's called Discovering the Hidden Things of God. You see, I want to go below this surface. I want to go to the deep things of God. And inevitably, the deep things of God are hidden until we spend some time in the wilderness. So we're going to spend some time in the story of Jesus' time in the wilderness when he was tempted by the devil. But before that, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. If you have a Bible, open it up, Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 15, because this is the story of Jesus' baptism. It's a pretty spectacular story, and it comes immediately before he goes out into the wilderness. Let's have a read, Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at the same moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now let's just stop and think about that for a moment. Is that success or what? I mean, you go to be baptized and you're coming up out of the water and heavens open up and God speaks, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, God's saying something here. This Jesus, this Son of God, is someone really special. And I'll tell you what, if Bernie was going to his baptism and that happened to me, I'd be thinking, wow, I have arrived. I have made it. I am on a fast track to success in the kingdom of God. Wouldn't you think the same? And if we were standing there watching this, watching Jesus come out and seeing the heavens open up and hearing the voice of God speaking about Jesus, we'd be thinking, now there is a man worth following. This is exactly the sort of man you'd want to appoint as the head of a dynamic, fast-growing, successful church. He's got all the outward trappings of success. Again, Webster writes this in his book, "Pastors and lay leaders alike judge success by worldly standards, the allure of great numbers, grand visions, expensive budgets, creative programming. But it's only a matter of time before they become disillusioned with the experts and the consultants and the executives whom they've chosen to run their churches according to a competitive business model." It has a ring of truth to it, doesn't it? We like things that look and taste and feel and smell successful. And when Jesus came up out of that water and the heavens opened up and God spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," he looked and felt and tasted and smelled successful. But in God's plan, there's something more. This baptism of Jesus signaled the beginning of his public ministry. The first 3 decades of his life he spent in a carpenter shop in Nazareth. God wasn't in a hurry. And now he's about to be launched into public life. And we know the story now. We know he had the most amazing, spectacular, powerful ministry. And what a fitting ceremony. What a fitting rite of passage. Surely from here, from this spectacular baptism, he'd go straight to preaching in the temple or in one of the largest synagogues. Surely from here, Jesus is on a fast track to success. But what happens immediately after this stunning baptism? Let's pick it up in Luke's account, in his gospel, Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was very hungry." I'd say he was starving. Some fast track. Jesus has this spectacular baptism, and now he goes straight into a wilderness experience. To be tempted by the devil, to be starving and bedraggled and alone and vulnerable. This baptism in the Jordan, I mean, it couldn't be further from the wilderness. A fresh flowing water, crowds, it's public, God shows up. And immediately following that, God leads him into the wilderness to be desolate and alone, except for the devil who would tempt him. Some fast track, some plan, God. What were you thinking? I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. I just want to take a moment during this short break to share something truly important with you. When you find yourself in the midst of a wilderness experience, when the devil's out there tempting you mercilessly, God means to give you victory. In fact, he already has. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Defeating the Devil in the Wilderness. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you live out the victory that you already have in Jesus Christ. And to help with that, each chapter contains a series of life application questions so that you can think through and apply God's word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Now, if I were God, the last place I'd ever send my son would be into a desert, a wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. But fortunately for you, I'm not God, and as things turn out, that wilderness was precisely where Jesus needed to be. Let's take a look. You see, in this day and age, success is something that we can see on the outside. And by and large, people mostly want to be successful. A bit like that time when Jesus was baptized that we were talking about before. And the heavens open up and God speaks, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Now, that didn't happen when I was baptized, but if it had, I would have known I was on a fast track to success in the kingdom of God. But what God did next with Jesus was to lead him out into the wilderness. God does some odd things sometimes. At least that's how it feels when we look at them through our human eyes. He doesn't think the way we do. He doesn't behave the way we do. And when we find ourselves in that wilderness, that mismatch of expectations between thinking, well, God is about blessing me, and then the real experience of being there in that wilderness, well, that's hard to deal with. It's hard to understand. What's God up to? That's because in our eyes, success is an outward thing. You see it in the secular marketplace, and I tell you, you see it in churches too. Doug Webster in his book Under the Radar put it this way: "For all practical purposes, the fullness of the Spirit seems to mean realizing one's full potential, becoming the kind of person that everyone else wants to follow, being someone who makes things happen, competing to win, and being able to prove your success with the numbers." Many popular Christian writers on leadership don't even bother to distinguish between worldly success and spiritual success because in their mind, the two are virtually one and the same. Well, today we're going to draw a sharp distinction between those two, and it's a sharp distinction indeed. Remember before the break, we had this picture of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, flowing, life-giving water, the crowds there, Jesus is baptized. We read it in Matthew chapter 3, beginning of verse 13. And as soon as he was baptized, he comes out of the water, and heaven opens up, and the Spirit of God descends down on him like a dove, alighting upon him, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This awesome thing, incredible thing. It's unique. But look at what happens immediately following that in Luke's account. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The contrast between those two situations, which one follows immediately after the other, it couldn't be more stark. The Jordan River, crowds, God's amazing deeds on the one hand, and then the desert and the wilderness on the other. It's so counterintuitive, so not what we'd expect God to do, but this wilderness was an essential wilderness. See, we expect success to follow success, but God's plan goes deeper. If we would discover the hidden things of God, then the wilderness is essential. Let's have a look at what happens to Jesus. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Something we kind of equate with being charismatic and successful on the outside, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit when he was baptized to equip him for this time in the wilderness. And out there in this wilderness, the crowds are gone, the audible voice of God is gone, the dove is gone, and it's replaced by a wilderness and the devil and a hunger and temptation and trial after trial. 40 days without food. And it says he was hungry. Boy, is that an understatement. Can you imagine how hungry he was? Hebrews chapter 5 says Jesus learned obedience through what he had to suffer. And look at who took him into the desert. You see, sometimes it's really easy to misread this. It's like the devil took him into the desert, but that's not what it says. Read Luke again, chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. So this was God's idea. This was God's doing. In fact, Mark's gospel puts it this way: at once the Spirit threw him out into the desert, literally threw him out there. In other words, this wilderness was an essential wilderness. It was the choice, the sovereign choice of God at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, a deserted, lonely place. There was Jesus, deprived of the help and the protection of others, like a sheep deserted by his shepherd, thrown out there by God himself, just him and the devil to be tempted for 40 days while he was starving and weak. God wants to go so much deeper with us than some worldly veneer of success. He's not interested in our popularity. He's not interested in how successful we are at work or in ministry. He's not interested in other people patting us on the back. Now, God has a hidden plan, a deeper plan, to forge our character, a character that will stand completely alone in the midst of this earth for his sake. A character that will rely wholly on him, no matter what the world or the devil throws at us. A character that's forged in the furnace of the wilderness, ready to be about God's business. When we look for a leader, when we look for a disciple, when we look for someone who is following God, are we looking for people who are successful with a demonstrated track record, with a great CV? How often do we ask about humility and endurance and prayer life and trials and character? See, those are the things that God uses to develop a man and a woman on the inside. All the popular self-help books out there describe a trajectory of success, but the Bible doesn't. It marks our lives with the cross of Christ. God's choice, as Doug Webster writes in his book Below the Radar, is to forge us in the wilderness of solitude, not in ivory towers or on dream teams, but on the anvil of loneliness and abandonment and weakness. See, Israel in the first century is looking for a Messiah. They are oppressed by Roman occupation. God, through the prophets, promised them a Messiah. But Jesus wasn't who they were looking for. They weren't looking for some bedraggled guy who wasn't much to look at, who wandered out of the desert after 40 days of being in the wilderness. They weren't looking for some man who'd been hungry and vulnerable, having been tempted, with none of the trappings of success, with nothing to commend him except this, that in that hidden place he withstood the devil. In that wilderness, he was alone and hungry and weak and vulnerable, and he relied on one thing and one thing alone, the fullness of the Spirit of God within him, to get him through. And then, and only then, was he ready to begin his journey to the cross. Then, and only then, did God release him to bring the good news to the poor and give sight to the blind and to bind up the brokenhearted. And it's exactly, exactly the same with us. So often the Lord leads us into a wilderness, an essential wilderness, and then he seems to desert us. He seems to leave us all alone. Except for this. For each one of us who's placed our faith in Jesus Christ, he's left us his Holy Spirit in us. The Spirit who will sustain us. The Spirit who in our weakness and vulnerability will defeat Satan. And in that place, we discover the hidden things of God. I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional, a scripture verse with some words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet or computer each day. You can read to it, listen to the audio or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free. And to get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh devotional sign-up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go on, go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. We have a very simple expectation of God. We expect him to bless us all the time. After all, if things are going well, then clearly God is pleased with us, and therefore we must be in his will. You see, we equate success with blessing. That's why when the wilderness experiences come, our first reaction is surprise. Hang on, what's going on here? Do you know what I think the hardest thing is about this wilderness? Is that when we walk into it, when all of a sudden we realize we're in the wilderness, it surprises and confuses us because we have this expectation that life will always go along swimmingly, wonderfully well. And you can hear someone talking about it, but when it happens to us, the pain and the shock, well, we react to that. It's confusion and hurt and despair. And right then, that very moment, the devil is waiting in the wings to tempt us. And it's those three temptations that Jesus went through that we're going to look at over the next 3 weeks on the program. What was the devil doing? Why did God let the devil tempt Jesus that way? You see, there's something special about just resting and listening and realizing that it happened to the Son of God as well. I'm going to read you the passages again, the baptism in the Jordan and then when Jesus was led into the wilderness. Just take it in, soak it up. This is what God took his Son through to prepare him for his public ministry. This is God's chosen way. Have a listen first in Matthew chapter 3. And Jesus came up from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And as soon as he was baptized and he went up out of the water, at that moment heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And now in Luke chapter 4, straight after this baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Those places of complete vulnerability are the places where we discover and learn the things of God in ways that we'll never forget. I started my Christian walk that way 12 years ago. Right in the middle of the wilderness is where I came to faith in Christ. And it was such a brutally hard time in my life. And I discovered the devil was there to tempt me. But it's the place where God laid down the foundations of my resolve to follow him and serve him and honor him. It's the place where I fell in love with Jesus in this terrible, bleak wilderness. A place I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. See, the problem in our society is we want people to perform and deliver and to look strong and solid and to have it all together. And sure, we want to grow up to be people who are strong in the Lord. But over and over again, God prunes us. And one of the pruning tools in his hand is the devil. And he allows the devil to tempt us. Jesus explains it this way. He said, "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." As we'll see next week, the first temptation that the devil put in front of Jesus was to go it alone. Jesus was hungry and the devil said, "Why don't you turn these stones into bread?" See, it's so anti where God wants us to be. He wants us to be a branch in the vine, so close to him, so close to Jesus. And the very first temptation of the devil, of Jesus in the desert, in the wilderness, was to say, "Jesus, why don't you go it alone? Why don't you end this suffering alone? Why don't you feed yourself?" Pruning is never fun. Being in the wilderness is never fun. But the wilderness is a part of God's plan. And even though it never feels like it at the time, and it never feels like we want to be there at the time, he is there every step of the way. This teaching series, Discovering the Hidden Things of God, as we travel through the wilderness with Jesus, is one of the most important teaching series, I believe, that we're going to hear this year. We look at the three temptations of Jesus, what they're all about, and how they show us what the devil's up to today. And above all, what we're going to discover are the hidden things of God, the things that God wants to do in our lives as he goes deeper and deeper and deeper. So I really encourage you to stick with me over these coming weeks as we together discover the hidden things of God with Jesus out there in the wilderness. much all we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer in a rich, dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus. That's exactly the sort of relationship that I pray you'll be living in with the Lord. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, and life-changing Bible teaching available at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw closer to God. So dive into the Media Lounge and watch our weekly Christianity Works TV broadcast or the daily fresh devotional videos. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to quickly lay hold of the teaching that you need for what you're going through today. Remember, everything on the site is free, including that booklet I mentioned earlier, Defeating the Devil in the Wilderness, and the fresh daily devotional. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life, to bring you His joy, His peace, and His power. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time next week, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.